first guest of the afternoon is in front of me. We're going to be Zooming with each other. He's Yaroslav Mar, Jerusalem-based political analyst, writer, and translator. A fascinating article and opinion piece appearing in the Times of Israel today, where the statement is made very categorically, there will be no Palestinian state. Wow, that is one hell of a title for an article. Yaroslav, thank you for being with me on Chai FM.
Thank you, Simon. It is a pleasure to join you here today.
So that was one hell of a way of starting an article. There will be no Palestinian state. I guess I want to ask you from your perspective, is this, in your opinion, a description of the current reality or a prediction about the future?
My opinion is that it is both, because after October 7, Palestinian state is a complete non-starter for the vast majority of Israelis. So the issue is simply no longer on the table, no matter how loudly campus activists and foreign governments try to promote it.
You know, you're talking to a South African. We've lived through incredible isolation through the apartheid years. We've seen what economic boycotts and sanctions can do. Why do you feel that the international pressure isn't enough to move the needle in Israel to force Israelis to accept such a solution?
Well, I think the situations are very different, so it's not really fair to compare the apartheid South Africa to modern-day Israel. First, because there is no apartheid in Israel. Israel has equal rights for all of its citizens, and also the conflict is completely different, because, correct me if I'm wrong, as I'm not an expert in South African history, but the movement for racial equality in South Africa was not about establishing a new state. It's about giving equal rights to all South Africans, regardless of their skin color.
Yeah, I don't want us to go down that route, because I completely agree with you. I'm not comparing the situations in Israel to South Africa for one minute. What I'm comparing is the pressure being put on the two countries at the time. Because I think that is comparable in terms of the fact that we couldn't travel anywhere, we couldn't trade. The pressure was enormous. Our economy was suffering hugely. And I don't know how the Israelis think they are going to manage to survive and thrive in a world that won't trade with them, that won't give them visas, that don't want their academics visiting, etc., etc., etc. Does that not concern you?
Well, again, I think there is a lot of exaggeration here, because as I actually outlined in the article, we can observe currently the opposite trend. Anti-Israel governments are falling due to their own domestic failures. For example, Slovenia has recently replaced an anti-Israel government with a pro-Israel one.
Yes.
In Spain, Pedro Sanchez, who is the loudest anti-Israel voice in the EU, is embattled in a massive corruption scandal, probably the most significant corruption scandal in Spanish history, and it is very unlikely that his party retains its majority at the upcoming election next year. In South America and in Latin America in general, we see a very clear trend towards the right and toward more pro-Israel stances, which is, of course, not about Israel, but rather it is about domestic failures of the left-wing governments that tend to be anti-Israel. So I think it is really an exaggeration to say that Israel is internationally isolated and has no...
I hope you're right. I really hope you're right, but let's see where that one goes. Why do you think it is then that the international community keeps on pushing and is so loyal to this solution of a two-state solution? I mean, that's the only game in town pretty much in the international arena. Why do you think that is?
I think it is just the natural instinct of every politician to follow the established route, which does not risk the approval ratings, does not risk any major political scandal. So as far as the two-state solution concerned, it is simply an established and deeply embedded mantra of the political establishment, But I also think that not even those foreign ministries that constantly issue press releases calling for a two-state solution actually think it is still on the table. And again, there
Oh,
is a really big
we having issues
difference
with the.
between Israel and those where the Palestinian state, as we saw, for example, with the UK, which helped repel Iranian attacks during the recent war, despite Keir Starmer's publicly anti-Israel stance and
Yaroslav, we've got a terrible
recognition
line,
of a Palestinian
unfortunately,
state
and we're
was handed.
missing half of it, whatever it is that you are saying. So I then am going to jump ahead a little bit because we're probably going to end this a little early due to technical issues we're having on the side. But what then is your solution? What were you putting on the table that instead of the two-state solution?
I think the most likely outcome is that the status quo or a variation of the status quo will remain. But really, my point in my article was not to argue for an alternative solution, but rather to accept the reality. And the reality is that a Palestinian state west of Jordan is not coming. So, what are the remaining options? The remaining options are either a variation of the status quo or some unorthodox solution, for example, a voluntary resettlement program with generous funding, probably partially at least funded by Israel, with the cooperation of willing host countries. Another possible solution is integration with Jordan and Egypt. And probably the most unorthodox solution is establishing a Palestinian state somewhere else. And I fully acknowledge that none of these paths are very likely to be followed in the foreseeable future, but every single one of them is still more likely than the creation of a Palestinian state west of Jordan against the opinion of the majority of Israelis.
I'm
This
thinking,
option is simply not on the table anymore.
I wonder if prior to Sadat's visit to Israel, before Begin signed the peace treaty, they just fought this awful war in 1973. I think probably peace for Israelis with Egypt was unimaginable as well. And yet Sadat put his arm out to peace, and the next thing we were greeted with pictures on our television screens or movie theaters in those days of thousands and thousands of Israelis lining the streets of Israel with Egyptian flags, talking about a very different future. If there was a leadership on the other side that was prepared to look at things differently, to talk about coexistence, to not engage in pay for slay, with the backing of Saudi Arabia, which must be a massive, massive coup for Israel to even think and conceive about a peace treaty with Saudi Arabia, do you not think the mood would shift significantly and quickly in favor of a two-state solution?
I think this is simply not a realistic outcome because the cornerstone of Palestinian identity is armed struggle against Israel, which is not the case for Egyptian identity because Egypt is a sovereign state with its own interests. And these interests do not necessarily require the unmaking of Israel, which is unfortunately not the case for the Palestinian cause, which has always been an Arab state from the river to the sea. So I just do not think it is realistically possible, considering everything we have observed in the past decades.
Yaroslav, we're going to leave it there this afternoon, not because I don't want to continue talking to you, but just because we are experiencing really bad reception on our side and missing a lot of what you are saying. But thank you so very much. That was Yaroslav Mar, Jerusalem-based political analyst, writer, and translator. Thanks for your input here on Chai FM this afternoon.